Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
So welcome again, everyone. We are in the Intimacy and Relationships channel. We have the pleasure of spending the next hour with Afshan Toffler. Her presentation is called 7 Steps to Transforming Anger, the Conscious Way. Afshan is a holistic life coach and conscious parenting coach who helps folks master emotional stress to transform health and thrive in relationships with your kids. She's been featured on leading parenting summits such as Mindful World Parenting, Great Parenting Show, Raising Your Strong-Willed Child, Thriving Children, and Parenting Like a Pro. Afshan is also a mom to a special needs and strong-willed child and is passionate about coaching parents with sensitive and spirited children to thrive in their relationships. Wow, beautiful work. So I'm looking forward to diving in. Afshan, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I am so excited to be here and share this work with you. So today you're going to learn about how to break reactive anger patterns with your kids, or with your spouse, or with anyone that you're in a relationship with in life today, and how to develop a more deeper level of calm in your life and more connection and trust in your relationships. You know, why do we want this? You know, why do we want to overcome our anger challenges? Because at the end of the day, we all really want connection, deeper connected relationships, and we all really want freedom, and freedom from our behaviors or patterns or habits that we feel trapped with. And so this is the work that I'm going to show you today. You know, Harvard, I just wanted to mention this one thing. Harvard, their longest research study, which some of you may have heard of, determined that the number one factor of happiness and great health in life is connected relationships. So the work of transforming anger is a very big part of creating deeper connection with relationships. So that's really why we're here and trying to do this work. So before we get into that, I want to ask you first, how many of you believe that anger is bad? So if you can rate on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being that anger is really bad and got to get rid of it, and 1 is anger is not bad at all. So I'd love for you to drop in the chat right now, if you can, if how much you believe anger is bad between 1 and 10. Okay. Okay. So we got 3, 5, 3. Okay. So that's pretty good. 8. Yeah. 6, 7. Yeah. Anger has a place. Yeah. 10, toxic, yeah. 8, 3, 3, 5, 3, 10, 7, 6, 8, 2, 10. Okay, awesome. Okay, depend on where it's directed, yeah. Okay, 8, okay. So it's a mixed bag, right? But a lot of sort of like anger as a weakness. Okay, thanks for sharing that, yeah, Gina. And okay, completely fine with it, yeah, okay. Okay, great, Megan. Okay, so thank you all for sharing that. I wanted to see where your beliefs stood around anger. So as you can see, some of us are more comfortable with anger, but some of us are not so comfortable with anger and believe that it's bad. And it's understandable, right, why we believe anger is bad, because it's this powerful force that can really leave another person or can really invoke damage, right? It can invoke a lot of damage, anger. And it can also leave you feeling pretty bad about yourself if you've expressed anger and leaving you sitting in a pool of guilt and shame. And nobody likes to be on the receiving end of anger because it doesn't feel good. So a lot of reasons why anger is bad, right? But let me ask you this question. Is anger bad 100% of the time? And some of you in the chat wrote, you know, spoke to that. No. Yeah. Yeah. So I want, like, if you can think about it from this perspective, has anger ever brought you, has anger ever brought you anything positive out of it? So has there been any sort of benefit from your anger at times? Has there, has it worked for you? Has, you know, has it been in your favor anytime? Yeah. Yeah. Motivation. Right. So if you think about it from the perspective of sports, of fighting for a cause, right? Justice, asserting your rights, breaking through a glass ceiling. Anger has a lot of power with it. And maybe it's helped you in life. Yeah, to protect you, exactly, defending another person's rights. It's really, anger can really help you to, that energy can help propel you forward to do something that you may not have had the courage to do otherwise. So anger is not all bad. There's actually some good to anger. And the thing is that anger is a, you know, we are biologically wired to experience anger. It's a natural human emotion, just like our other emotions, fear, sadness, joy, excitement. These are all emotions that we are biologically wired to experience. And anger also has, we have reward centers in our brain for anger. So we can't get rid of it, no matter how hard we may try. We can't get rid of anger because we have reward centers in our brain for it. So we are meant to experience anger. It is imperative to our survival. So yeah. So, but what happens is that the way in which we express anger is actually what is damaging. Okay, it's the way in which we express it. So how do we express it? We control it, we push it down, we suppress it, we deny it. That creates anxiety in the body. Or it bubbles, boom, we blow. Rage, right? Very damaging for us, our health, or on someone else. And, or resentment, you know, we deny our anger, but then we sit in seething resentment and hate and towards another. And that's like, you know, drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. Meanwhile, it's eating away at you. And so these are all unhealthy expressions of anger versus healthy anger. There is such a thing as healthy anger, which to me is anger bubbles up. You sense it's there. You're with it. You can be with it. You can actually tolerate it. You don't have anxiety about it. You can tolerate it. You can take action from it if needed. And then you can let it process and let it go from the body. Or you can assert yourself with it, right? Assertiveness is healthy anger. It's more of an assertiveness. So the challenge is that, you know, if there is this thing called healthy anger, why didn't any of us learn it, right? Why didn't we learn healthy anger? Well, if you think about when you were a kid and you got really angry, what kind of reaction or response were you met with? Well, oftentimes as children, when we get angry, we were met with disapproval. Okay. Our parents did not like our anger. And we were met with disconnection, right? I'm not going to talk to you if you're angry. You need to be calm and then I'm going to talk to you, right? So we could have been met with that. We could have been met with anger and rage right back at us. Or we were met with punishment for our anger. So what did we end up learning from those experiences? Well, most of us learned that, number one, anger is bad. And we learned that if I have anger, I'm bad. And then we learned if I have anger, I'm unlovable. My parents won't accept me or connect with me. I'm unlovable. So these are our learnings that we take throughout our lives. They're belief systems that live in us. And every time anger bubbles up, oh my gosh, you feel anxiety. We don't know what to do with it. And it either builds and builds and builds and blows, or we control it, and only for it to not work. And then it builds and blows, or we sit in seething resentment. So all unhealthy expressions of anger. So none of us really learned how to be with anger in this healthy way, how to really express it in this healthy way. But imagine this, okay? Imagine you are a young kid having a rage episode or full-on meltdown or swearing at your parents. And in the face of that, your parents mirror to you, calm, acceptance, and maybe even validation. Yeah, you're angry. I can see how angry you are. That must be so hard for you. I'm here to help you. It's okay. It's okay to have anger. It's natural human emotion. It's okay. So imagine if you were mirrored that. What would you have learned instead? Well, you likely would have learned that, oh, I can accept my anger. I can be with this powerful emotion because I can feel safe in the face of this powerful emotion because my parent is mirroring to me calm. So what am I learning through mirror neurons? I'm learning that I can stay calm in the face of this powerful emotion that's taking me over. And then I learn to come back home, calm my anger, release it from the body. And that's what I learn instead. So, but most of us, because I'm telling you, the world is uncomfortable with anger, okay? Most of us have not, and we can see that from the leaders, right? We're not going to get into the political climate, but we can see that. Lots of unhealthy expressions of anger. So we could see that how we learned how to be with anger, how to not be with anger. And if we got that mirroring from our parents of that calmness, that I accept you, then what we would have learned in that process through mirror neurons is actually true emotional regulation, which is the process of being with and being able to manage and respond to our inner emotional experience, which many of us have not learned how to do, right? So it's really about learning emotional regulation. And so as adults now, we haven't learned healthy anger, but the good news is you can learn it now. And you can change the patterns and you can change the nervous system reactions. You can learn it now. So, you know, my journey with transforming my reactive anger patterns. I would suppress it. And then I would blow and have rage. And I have a strong-willed child and he really challenged me. So I not only had anger towards my child, but my husband too, you know, secretly hated him at times. I had parts of me that hated him. So I had a lot of challenges with anger. And through my journey of trying to get a handle on this, I always thought it was about emotional control. It was about controlling my emotions, that I should learn how to control my emotions. Because what are the predominant learnings in our life, right? Coming from societal, cultural, religious, educational institutions, all of it. The learning is we must learn to control ourselves. We must learn to control ourselves, control our emotions, control our food, control every aspect of life. And so we learn that we need to control our emotions. So I thought this whole time it was about controlling my emotions. I looked at all these parents out there. I was like, how do they control their emotions? I need to be able to control my emotions. And what I really needed to learn, because the challenge with controlling emotions, okay, is that no matter how much I tried to control my emotions, it all I would need is a big enough trigger and I would still blow. It wasn't working for me. And it was causing me a lot of stress trying to control the energy of control, right? Causing a lot of anxiety. What I really needed to learn was emotional regulation, the process of being with my emotions, tolerating my emotions, feeling okay in the face of my emotions, and helping them to process and release. So that's what I really needed to learn. And so then I embarked upon this path of, okay, I'm going to heal this anger once and for all. And on that path, I discovered these 7 steps that really helped me to heal, to really break this reactive anger pattern. And I use these 7 steps. I use them every day. I use them with my clients now. And I have an online course that I help people with the 7 steps. So I'm going to get into the 7 steps next to just give you a view of what the 7 steps are. And then we're going to have a little bit of an experience of how to really change this pattern of how we be with anger. And then we'll have questions at the end. So if Danielle, if you can share the slide, please, and we'll just go through the 7 steps. Okay, so this is the 7 steps to transforming anger the conscious way. Because the key with emotional regulation is your higher thinking brain staying online in the face of very painful emotions. So the emotions are not fully taking you over, your higher thinking brain can stay online. And, you know, we were talking about emotional control earlier. It's, you know, self-regulation, learning emotional regulation, what naturally ends up coming from that is more self-control. But it naturally comes from that. You're not controlling. It just, you naturally are able to be okay and more in control when these emotions come up because you're being with them and you're processing them. So we're going to go, it's very blurry. I don't know, Danielle, can you increase that at all? Just to see if, sorry if it's a bit blurry. I'll walk you guys through it. So step one is conscious anger, and that's creating a new relationship with anger. So up to this point, many of us have been in a relationship with anger in terms of resisting it, hating it, denying it, pushing it down. So what we want to do is really change that, our relationship with anger now, to really befriend it. We want to befriend our anger. And why is that? Because, you know, when we befriend our anger, we learn a lot from it. We learn about the messages that anger has for us and what it's trying to do for us. Because anger is a very protective emotion. And it's trying to protect us and keep us safe for some reason. So if we can befriend it and be in relationship with it, then we can understand its messages and then it won't take us over. Because anger comes up for many reasons, right? To draw a boundary, to get a need met, an expectation met, to defend your values. There's many reasons why anger comes up. And so we want to befriend it and be in relationship with it as a part of us. So, and I say a part of us because we here are our true selves, okay? We have our true selves, our conscious self, who we truly are. And then we have these patterns and behaviors that are parts of us that launch into action, like our taskmaster part that helps us get stuff done, and our you know, perfectionist parts that can may help make sure things are perfect. And so anger is a part of us, okay? And so when we can befriend it and get to know it better, we can be in relationship with it so that then we still stay in conscious control, okay? So that's the first step. The second step is conscious calming, and that's self-regulating when triggered. And this is about understanding deeply that we all have a nervous system that automatically launches into fight, flight, or freeze. And it's our nervous system has a scanning system that's consciously scanning the environment for threat and for danger cues and safety cues. And this is very under our radar. So when we launch into anger or fight state, what our body is telling us in that moment is we're not feeling safe. There's too many cues of danger in our environment, or it could be too many cues of danger coming from inside as well, or too many cues of danger coming from another person. There's too many cues of danger that our nervous system has automatically launched into this state. So this is about learning that our body goes somewhere, okay? Our body goes somewhere automatically into a state. How can we become the watcher and see that our body has gone there? And then how can we help our body by giving it cues of safety to come back to feeling safe and calm? Because when you're in a state, story follows state. And so you want to be able to get yourself back into, help your body to get back into calm. And oftentimes, so that then you can help shift your story. And oftentimes when we, our nervous system has gone somewhere, you know, into a state automatically, and we're not conscious of it, then, you know, the only story there is to blame, right? So it's noticing there that our body has gone somewhere, helping our body get back. And this is essential. It's so essential to transforming anger, because it's knowing that it can be very automatic. And then also knowing this can be very non-shaming, right? It's not our fault. None of us are getting angry on purpose. It just happens and takes us over. So this is about learning, how do you get your system back to safety? And then step three is conscious belief systems. And this is about transforming your stories. So the belief systems we live through are really cloud our views, right? They are the lenses through which we see life. So if we see our children as, if we have a belief, okay, that children should listen to their parents all the time, many of us have that belief, then we are going to react when our child doesn't listen. And so this is about realizing that when you've gone into a state of fight, and the story that comes out of the fight state, becoming consciously aware versus unconscious, consciously aware of the story that's coming out of that fight state, and then how do you transform that story and that belief to a more conscious belief system that will help you to then not react to your child or spouse or whoever in the present moment. So every time you go into a reaction in anything in life is an opportunity to do a U-turn and come back and say, what belief am I living through here that just caused me to react? What belief am I living through? And that's how you can really start to identify those limiting beliefs, those unconscious beliefs, because those are not aligned with who you truly want to be. They're just old learnings that are embedded in our system. And we want to replace them with new learnings that are healthier and can help us be who we want to be today. So that's a really important step too. And then step four is conscious feelings. And this is about helping the vulnerable emotions. Anger often comes up to protect vulnerable emotions. And when we can be with those more vulnerable emotions, when we can process them, when we can hold them, when we can help them release, When we don't feel so scared in the face of them, because we don't know what to do with them. If we know what to do with them and we can attend to them, then anger doesn't have to come up to protect so much. Because anger is a protective emotion. And it's there to protect the vulnerable feelings as well that are getting triggered in those moments. And then step five is conscious self-care. And this is about developing self-compassion and breaking that guilt and shame cycle. And so, you know, having self-compassion and self-forgiveness is so important in this process. You are human. You have a nervous system that has been shaped through your life experiences. You have a subconscious mind carrying around blindly all these beliefs that are causing you to react in the present moment. You are a human. And oftentimes we have these inner critics that are often loud in our heads, telling us negative things about ourselves. And we often have parts of us like perfectionist parts and taskmaster parts, getting stuff done parts. And if those parts can't keep it together, if we can't, then we go into feeling, you know, not good enough and worthless. And then the inner critic voice gets louder. And so what we need to do instead is really build up that self-compassion practice to bring to ourselves when we are not doing as well as we want in life, as well as we think we should be, as perfect as we think we should be. Bringing in self-compassion can really help soften our system so that we're not at this point, tipping point of stress already. And then all it takes is for your child to trigger you or someone to trigger you and boom, you blow because you're already at that stress level. Okay, so step six is about conscious boundaries. And this is about knowing your boundaries and communicating your limits with strength and love. And this is a really hard one for many parents and many people in life. We often draw boundaries in a very harsh way, or we're very permissive about it. Like, oh, I feel guilty, so I'm going to let that go. Okay, yeah. But then that builds, and boom, harsh again. So the key is to learn like, okay, what are my boundaries? You know, what are my boundaries? What am I okay with? And what am I not okay with? And how can I feel the right to draw a boundary, right? And how can I know that boundaries are actually healthy for my kids? Because then they know where you stand and that I can actually do it with love, firm love. Fierce compassion, right? Kristen Neff talks a lot about that fierce compassion. It's not just soft compassion, but there's fierce compassion. So how can we do that? Because if you can set your own boundaries in this way, then anger doesn't have to do it for you. Anger doesn't have to come out and have rage and set those boundaries and shut it all down, you know? So this is where this is a practice of really learning how to set boundaries in a healthy way. And then step seven is about healing the childhood wounds. And this is a conscious healing, healing the childhood wounds. And this is about, so a childhood wound or a wound in general is when you've had a traumatic experience. And remember trauma, I'm sure you've learned from this conference, but trauma is not about what happened, but it's about how you perceived what happened, how your nervous system took that in as a detrimental learning to your system. And whenever you have a wound, what's embedded in that wound are limiting beliefs about yourself or about life or about the world, and also trapped emotions that never got to be expressed. We're often alone in our experience, and that's, and no one was there to help us to process it. And this happened a lot as kids for many of us. So these wounds live in our system, and every time somebody triggers you, these wounds can get ignited. So then it's really about how do we reparent that inner child of ours to have a different experience, to feel like, okay, I've got you, inner child, I've got you, you're okay. And then help that inner child to release those limiting beliefs and to release those trapped emotions by really witnessing and allowing it, that part of us, to heal. So that is my 7 steps to transforming anger. As you can see, it's quite comprehensive because anger is a very complex emotion, but I think I figured out all the angles to it. And I know that it's really worked for me and it's worked for many of my clients as well. So next, we're going to go into an experience of changing your relationship with anger. So I hope you're all okay with just a short experience that, and then we'll do questions right after that. Okay. So I want you to have an experience because your nervous system and your subconscious mind learn best through new emotional experiences. And then they encode those experiences and those new experiences start to override the old patterns. So this is an opportunity to go inside with a short guided meditation that I'm going to walk you through and that you can have an experience of being with anger in a different way, if that's okay with you. Okay. Okay. So I invite you, if you'd like, I invite you all to close your eyes if you like, and just start to take a few deep, slow breaths, just slow down your breathing and take some slow, deep breaths into your belly. You can release a big sigh if you want. Just really coming into your body and just feeling your body supported by the chair or bed if you're lying down. Feeling your feet on the floor and just slowing everything down. Feeling your body coming into relaxation. Now I invite you to recall a recent time that you got really angry at either your child or your spouse or any situation, just that you got really angry. Recall that event in your mind and allow yourself to feel that anger in your body a little bit. Imagine that event in front of you. Imagine your child's triggering behavior or that situation in front of you, and just call up that anger reaction. Notice, where do you feel that anger reaction in your body? Just become really curious and notice where you feel it. Some people notice it in their face or fists or chest or neck. Just get really curious and notice how anger shows up in your body. Notice all the sensations you're feeling when anger is here. Now pretend there is a dial. And you're going to dial up that body reaction that you're having. So take the dial and dial it up. This is so you can really understand your body's signature anger response. And now dial it back down. Now dial it back up again. And dial it back down a little. So this is your body's signature anger response. And hopefully dialing it up and down helped you to experience that more clearly. So now just become a really curious observer of this anger. Without judgment, if you can, without trying to change it. Just being with it. And becoming really curious about it. Notice how it is to be with this anger without fully being taken over by it. to be in this fight state that your nervous system has gone into, that you can observe it. What's it like to be with it right now? Notice what thoughts come from this angry state. What are the dominant thoughts that come out of the state? Notice what anger wants you to do. Notice the impulse. What does it want you to do? What does your body want you to do? How does it want you to behave or take action? What's the impulse? Now, as you're with this anger, breathe with it. Breathe by doing this vagus nerve breathing, this calming. It's the calming nerve in your body, where you're going to count 4 counts in and 6 slow counts out. So the longer out breath, and just slow down your breathing as you're with this sensation of anger. So just breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. And 6 slow counts out through your nose or mouth. Notice how it is to be with this anger while breathing with it, and it not taking you over. How is it for you to be with this anger and accept it here right now? What's that like for you? Okay, now take that dial and dial the anger response all the way down. And you can take a few really deep breaths. And you can release a big sigh if you want. You can shake your body a little bit to release some of that sympathetic energy we just brought in, the fight state, and I invite you to open your eyes and come back to the room. So I would love to hear from you what your experience was of being with anger in this way, if you were able to do the meditation. And that's just a little short experience of really being with anger and understanding that signature anger response and allowing your nervous system to have a different experience in the face of anger, so that you can start to tolerate it and be with it with more ease. And more you practice something like this, the more and more you're telling your nervous system, I can be with this with more ease. Yeah, so. Okay, so yeah, Mark says, I immediately felt tension, strain in my throat. Yeah. My anger just gave way to grief and sadness. Okay, yeah. That's the emotions beneath what anger is trying to protect. When I dial it down, my anger turned inward. Laura, okay. That happens a lot, right? Because that's like a suppressing anger response, and we can also turn anger inwards on ourselves. Okay, so not so easy to use the dial, Rosie. Okay, that's okay. For some people, if that's a little bit harder, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay. And like the imagery of being with the emotion and feeling, really notice my posture change and the difference between the two positions. Okay, great, Joe. Great noticing. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Pian. I am crying and don't know why exactly. Okay, maybe being with anger without judgment is so different. Yeah. Yeah. It can be a very emotional experience to give ourselves that kind of support. It can also be that anger lets go, and then emotions, other emotions come up that anger is protecting underneath. So it could be either. So yeah, it's like the tip of the iceberg diagram, where anger is all the emotions are underlying. Yeah, like shame and sadness. Yeah. I had a headache and pain in my face when angry. Yeah. Okay. That's great noticing, Salwa. Yep. Great noticing. Anger can cause a lot of these, body messages, right? Body feelings. Took more energy to dial it up. Yeah. It takes a lot of energy to be angry, guys. It takes a lot of energy out of us. Yeah. Couldn't connect to the anger. I know how it feels, but hard to really feel it. Okay. So that's okay. That's common response too for some, because we have a part of us that often blocks us from really remembering that anger because we're so against it, and that we are afraid the anger is going to take us over. So that's natural. And we can work with those parts as well. Found myself experience feelings of hurt, being hurt instead of being angry. And I felt it in my eyes. Yeah. Okay. Reluctant to take myself there. Okay, that's okay. We have parts of us that don't want to take us there because they feel like the anger is going to then override us, and that's it. So we can reassure those parts of us that we're not going to let this anger take us over when we do this practice. So we can just have the inner conversation with that part of you. Okay, I'm not going to let this anger take us over. We're just going to help it. Okay. So there's a lot of comments. Thank you so much for sharing. I want to give you guys an option to ask questions too. So hard to dial it down because it so badly wants to be seen. Yeah. Yeah. You know, anger comes from these little kid parts of us too, that really want to be seen and heard. So that's understandable too. Yeah, you like the dial effect, Greg? Yeah, you can dial it down. The interesting part about dialing it up and down is you can see how much control you can have over it, right? And how you can be with it and help it uptick or downtick. So that's a really interesting experience for a lot of people. Okay, yeah. And okay, so yeah, questions now. Do you, Gabby, do you want to direct any questions for me?
Of course, happy to. Thank you, Afshan. Okay. And thank you everyone for being so vulnerable and sharing. That's beautiful work to witness. And even though your work specializes in conscious parenting, we all have these childhood wounds, right? So thank you everybody for participating here. So I'm looking at the Q&A, folks. You have a chance to upvote anything that you would like Afshan to address, but I'll start reading some of the ones here. There's a popular one, shall we say. Rosie, thank you for your question. So Rosie says, I have a very reactionary teen, high functioning autistic daughter swearing, and she breaks objects often. This isn't mirrored behavior, but ultra frustration, and meltdown. How can this help her over and above from mirroring? And where should she draw boundaries if she's swearing at you and you say to her, it's okay to have your anger, as that might just condone it? What are your thoughts there?
Okay, so we all, many of us have this belief that if we say it's okay to have anger, then the kid's going to go to town and have anger all the time. But one thing we have to understand with kids with, you know, neurological challenges like autism. So my son is high functioning autism and very, you know, much like sounds like your daughter. This is a pretty loaded question, because what we need to understand is that these children's brains, right there, they get overloaded easily. It's called cognitive overload. They also have extremely sensitive nervous systems that are reading danger cues way more than the average nervous system. They get overloaded really easily. So what these kids need more than anything is an extremely calm parent in the face of it. And yes, mirroring that in the face of the swearing, my son swears all the time. Okay. And believe me, I don't like it. And it's not great, but I've learned to let that go because I know that his anger and swearing is coming from a deeper reason. He's getting danger cues in his own body, because from inside of his body, because we know from the research studies that kids with autism have way more stress hormones in their body. They are also way more sensitive to sensory stimuli, making them feel overloaded. Okay. And then they have processing issues. So then they can't process language that well. So I would encourage you, if you can, because my son has also like hit, thrown, broken a lot of things. And what we've learned through the process is that if we can stay really calm and minimize the language, literally no words, and just send him the messaging of calm in the face of it, he actually calms down. So even with the swearing, I don't go to teach in moments when a child is dysregulated. Swearing is a sign to me of a child feeling in threat, you know, in fight state. Nervous system has automatically gone into fight state. And what behavior pattern have they learned is to swear. It's easier to get your emotions out through swearing than to sit there and have an intellectual conversation come out of you explaining why you're feeling like shit inside. Okay. So kids, no wonder we swear. We all swear, right? The F word probably has the most like feeling of release. F, like, don't you think so? Right. But yeah, like, we don't want our kids to be screaming and having profanity all the time either. But in those moments, I would encourage you to use this practice of calming your own nervous system. And sometimes I sit there and I just close my eyes. I don't say any words because he doesn't like it, right? Learning the cues that your child needs, your child's nervous system needs to feel safe, is very important for an autistic child. So each child is different, and we got to learn our kids' nervous system cues for safety. So if we can send them those cues of safety in the moment, then they calm down much more. And only when they're regulated, then do we teach them about, okay, what can we do next time? You know, how can we not use swearing? So oftentimes when my son starts to swear, but he's not fully dysregulated yet, but you can tell he's swearing because he's like worried about something or agitated. I just respond back, I love you. You know, he's like, fuck you. And I'm like, I love you. And then he changes it. I love you too, mom. You know, so we formed a new pattern instead. And so some of these kids can get really stuck in their behavioral patterns, and it's not their fault. It's just the way that their brains work. It's a sticky kind of thing. But you can teach them new patterns. But the key is really being regulated yourself, because the more you can regulate and the more you can show them positive affect, positive emotions towards any behavior, then the more that they learn the positive aspects. So if we have a really negative emotional response to a behavior, then that's gonna, even though we think that that's not gonna wire that behavior in, it's still a big emotional response. And our brain and nervous system learns from big emotional responses. So then that behavior can still become wired in. So we wanna minimize our responses to negative behaviors and not give too much emotion around them, and just regulate and mirror regulation. And then when they're having positive behaviors, like when they don't swear, or when they change their swearing to a better word, or when they're doing something positive, then you give more emotional affect around that, because then their brain learns that that's better. So that's the recommendation I would give around that. And that's coming from the perspective of really understanding childhood development, emotional development, and how to help change the brain. Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. That was very insightful. So maybe one or two more questions. I'll read another one that was upvoted in the Q&A. Sarah, thank you for your question. There's some curiosity around tips on what to do when there's pushback and boundary sharing. What if an adult is pushing back against you and you feel disrespected? You can't change whether or not someone else decides to not respect your wishes. For example, if they have a different belief and refuse to compromise. What are your thoughts?
Okay, sorry. Say that again. Is it on here? Because sometimes I can read.
It's okay. It's on the Q&A. I think you should be able to see it. And I can also...
Who said it?
Sarah.
Sarah, okay.
It's around pushback and boundaries. So what if an adult is pushing back?
Just on what to do when there is pushback In boundary sharing. So you mean you set a boundary and you're getting pushback. Yeah. What if an adult is pushing back against you and you feel disrespected? You can't change, right? You can't change whether or not someone else is going to respect your wishes. I would ask you, are you expecting them to not like treat you a certain way? Is that what you're saying? Or you share a boundary, you say, okay, this is not okay with me that you talk to me that way, kind of thing. And then they still talk to you that way. I think that's what you're trying to, what you might be trying to say. And so I would say that when you share, it's important for you to share that boundary. It's not okay for you to talk to me that way. And then if they continue to do that, you follow it up with a consequence of you saying, look, I know that you've got some issues going on here and I'm not going to sit here and listen to it. So I'm going to, you know, go and I'm not going to listen to this and I'm going to walk away. So if it's an adult, right? If it's a child, it's a bit different. You can't, you know, to disconnect and walk away is not always the greatest thing to do, especially if you have a special needs child. It's more about teaching them through regulation. So for example, like Sarah says, needing to get to bed early so you can get kids ready the next day, but the spouse insists on doing dishes later at night, which keeps you awake. Thank you. Thank you for elaborating on that. So it's really about having conversations with our spouses and getting on the same page and being a team. And that's not always easy to do, right? So helping them understand that if we do this, then bedtime gets extended and then we don't have as much time for ourselves. And really not imposing the boundary on them, but saying to them, this is what I would like. What would you like? You know, this is how I see the benefits of it. What would you like? And really co-creating that together, something that works for both of you, because you're both in that relationship. You're both the parents and it has to work for both of you. So really figuring out a way to compromise and come together on that. A lot of times for moms, right, it's helping the dads come around in certain ways, but sometimes it's the other way around too. So that's what I would recommend for that. Yeah.
Great.
So why can't we co-create with all adults? Yeah, we can. We can co-create with all adults. I was just using that other example of if you can't control the way someone talks to you, you can try to have a conversation with them. But the key is, one thing to remember, everybody, is that when you are going to try and have teaching moments with other people in your life, they are never going to learn anything if their nervous system is in fight or flight or freeze. So if they're in a fight state, their brain cannot take it in. So the key is for you to stay really regulated, accept them for their state that they're in, if you can. You know, even though your nervous system might be fighting that a bit, calm your nervous system down, accept them for that state. And when they're calm, then you work to co-create, only when they're calm, because that's when social engagement kicks in. That's when somebody wants to be connected with you. That's when somebody wants to hear your ideas. They're not going to want to hear your ideas if they're in fight state. Never works. So, you know, drop the agenda in fight state, everybody get to calm, and then you can help the other person to hear your point of view, because then their brain will be more open to listening and they're feeling safer, right? They're in a safer state. Yeah.
Thank you all for that. Afshan, can I throw one more at you? Because this one feels like an important one. Just noting the time, if we can be very concise here, which I know is very challenging in any of these conversations. So someone shared they have huge difficulty feeling past experiences in their body and they couldn't work with the exercise. How can they connect with the feeling? Their anger is a rage that comes from nowhere and cannot be recognized before they explode. So there's really no time to pause. What are your thoughts on helping them maybe start small in this exercise and awareness?
Okay, yeah. So your system is telling me that it doesn't feel safe for you to experience this anger in this context right here. So your nervous system is not getting enough safety cues, and you have parts of you that are going to sort of block you from having this experience right now. So I would encourage you to do a lot of, to do this exercise, try this exercise, maybe not in this context, maybe when you feel more safe to do it, when you're grounded yourself more, to then experience some of this anger. And you may have very protective parts of you because that won't allow you to experience this anger right now. And then you may have to work with them. So I don't know if you've heard of a type of therapy. I'm trained in a type of therapy called internal family systems, and this is all the parts work that I do. And it's very, very helpful for when you have parts of you blocking you experiencing being with your anger. So, I would recommend looking into that if you are, going to follow the therapy path, because that is I've tried every kind of therapy out there, and I find it to be the most healing. but just knowing that there are parts of you, so you could actually work with the parts of you first that feel so afraid to go there, and really be with that feeling of, I'm so afraid to go there. I'm so afraid to, and breathe with that and be with that first and tolerate that and send love and compassion to that part of you first. And then if that part feels supported and cared for, maybe it would be willing to then give you space to be with this anger. Because it's just afraid that it's going to flood you. And then if you're in anger, it's going to take you over. And it doesn't trust, right? Your system doesn't trust that you can actually be with anger in this healthy way. So it's like even just saying, okay, I'm not going to feel this whole anger situation right now, but I'm going to take one little drop from it. Just one little drop, and I'm going to feel that one little drop of it. That could help you titrate it a bit too. So that's another angle that I use. Just one little drop, or you put that anger all in a bubble and you're just like, I'm just going to touch it here, and see if that imagery works for you to help your system be able to tolerate being with anger.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh, I wish we had more time to spend together, but I'm afraid we have to start wrapping up. So thank you again, Afshan, for sharing all of this with us. It's been very practical and insightful for me. And thank you everyone for joining as well. And again, for being so open to sharing. So if you would like to continue being in community with one another as you learn and take in all of this beautiful information, you can connect on Facebook. Daniela will start dropping some links, which she already has in the chat. And do be sure to grab them because we end promptly. So you'll have just a couple minutes to grab these links before the session closes. So make sure you do that before you go.
Free webinar, by the way, that you guys can access that goes more into detail with this if you want more information.
Excellent. Thank you. There are links more about Afshan's work as well. Thank you, Daniela. There are also coffee breaks that we're doing with the Embodiment Conference. These are smaller breakouts so you can get to know each other between sessions. Be sure to check that out. And then, of course, I also want to encourage you to own the Embodiment Conference library if you can, so you can digest all of this in your own time. It's a great investment in your self-development. We also understand that it's a financial investment as well. So if you purchase the library during the conference, you do get up to 50% off. So something to think about if that's possible for you. We also have payment plans available, and this offer ends when we wrap the conference on the 25th, which is coming up. So we appreciate you considering that as a thank you to us, and your support enables others to join us live here for free. This also comes with notes on the sessions, audio only options, so you can kind of digest it podcast style. And actually, speaking of internal family systems, there's a session in the library if you upgrade that you can access with Richard Schwartz and Alanis Morissette. So you can check that out there. So thank you all for joining again. Be sure to grab these links from Daniela. Next up on the Intimacy and Relationships channel, we'll be discussing the Eros of Embodiment with Roger Kuhn and Dr. Sherry Taylor. So hope you can join us then. Afshan, thank you again. It's been such a pleasure. I'll just ask you to close us out if you can share briefly your top tip to stay embodied.
top tip to stay embodied is really emotional fitness, practice emotional fitness, being with your emotions, 5-minute daily practice of just tuning in. What emotions am I feeling? Can I be with them here? Can I go inside and just be with them? And just like physical fitness is so important, so is emotional fitness. So I would encourage you all to practice that so that you can get the emotional, learn the emotional regulation that you want so you can have a calmer experience of life.
Thank you so much. I'll be doing that for sure. Thank you again, everybody, and for sharing. Take care of yourselves. There was a lot to process, at least over here there was for me. So seek support as you need it and be well. We hope to see you again soon. Thanks again, Afshan.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. It's been an honor.